very straightforward, right? The last reading. That's from Leviticus. Today's sharing is not about either you should consult mediums or you shouldn't. I would not actually go into that. It is a mystery. I'm from a country called South Korea. And if you are going to talk about mediums, you came to the right place. You know, we have shamanism, which was the religion for Koreans like ancient days. And give or take, still at least 1/3 to 25% of Koreans are somewhat believing in shamanistic practices. And I saw a woman dancing on a sharp blade. I don't know how she could do that, but she did that. I also saw a videotape of a few other shamans conjuring the spirit and telling the things that nobody should know about. So, yet again, when Japan, like a long time ago, Japan invaded Korea and they occupied it for 35 years, and they tried to actually merge Koreans to be Japanese. So they did the stage-by-stage, very tactical way of erasing what it makes to be Korean. So you start with the history, then next the kind of culture, and then religion or belief. So one of the projects they did was that they sought out every single shamans in Korea and checked them out and see either they're real or not. And they said 95% are all fake. And they were claiming that therefore Korean shamans are fake. But big question is, there are 5%. Even those mind who are there to destroy them could not say these are fakes. So ancient days are full of these people who have connection to spirits, and especially time of soul. We're talking about 2,000 plus 1,000, so 3,000 years ago. Long time ago. And people were mostly uneducated in all fronts. And if somebody would say, I see spirit, don't know how you make out of it. The strong word from God is, don't talk to mediums or the ones who talk to spirits. The reason it actually is not so much about they're all fakes and they're all bad, because you have me. I am the Lord, your God, and I'm alive, and I send my prophets to you. If you have questions, you have concerns, bring them to me, and I listen to you. Right? If you read Psalms and other books, there's full of those. So, kind of interesting that at the end of the life, this is kind of last chapters in the 1 Samuel, and the story of Saul, King Saul, is getting to the end now. Saul, a tragic guy, an interesting guy. You know, he was taller than the rest of his people. And he was the most handsome. And those are two qualifications that made him to be king. Other than that, he was just a boy hanging out and having fun. Nobody taught him how to lead people, rule people, or even nobody taught him how to be a warrior, in a way. He became king overnight, didn't know how to do or how to rule. And he thought maybe pleasing people is a good thing. So he would want to listen to this people and that people. He wanted to please everybody. And at the end, what happens? He pleased nobody. And even God rejects him. And in this story shows too that now this final battle is coming. Huge army is against his people. He's a king now. And he expelled his only and winning victorious general, David, because he thought David's going to take it over. Right? So he kicked him out. And the prophet who was counseling him, who had very sure connection to his God, Samuel, just passed away. So he lost his general, he lost his prophet, and this army is coming, he's old, and he doesn't know how to fight. He wants to ask God about it, and to him it's all silent. So you may say on Saul's side that he had perfect excuse to go consult a medium. By the way, he also expelled and killed all the mediums before in the country. And interestingly, this one worked. Right? It worked. But not in his favor. It only confirmed what was coming to him. So, this is the kind of first of this whole wrap-up. The character of the soul. And he would make decisions in a way, in whichever way he could justify it, that he just pursue it. And he does not really think either that's truly, principally right or wrong. Somehow he's careless about that. And later he regrets and he suffers the consequences. Saul could have done other things. But one thing Saul doesn't have or didn't have was patience. He had to fix it right away. And he had to try the way it might work. So if you read Leviticus, the God's command to him is pretty straightforward. Don't talk to mediums. But he'll do it. Just in case, who knows? That's Saul. If you really read his stories, I would actually more have connection to Saul's character as a human than actually David. David's kind of too strong, too righteous. He makes only one mistake. And that's it. A soul fails and fails and fails and fails again. But he was the first king. So one good question is, did he have a choice? Or was it just the fate that he was set up to fail? And my own personal argument is, he had choice. He did have choice. Even at the last moment, he did have a choice. He didn't have to go to mediums to consult. Only thing Saul was never overcoming is that he was only focused on saving himself, his life. That was more important than the kingdom, his people, or his own son. Sadly, that has actual consequences too. So today's story and what I'm sharing with you is not an easy one. In a summary, it goes like this. Sometimes life happens in such a way that I just have to swallow the consequences of my choices. And I cannot alter it. I cannot pass it. I cannot fix it. I just have to swallow it and move it forward. One other choice Saul had, he didn't use it, was acknowledging who he really was. He was the king, chosen king, not for himself, but for the sake of people. His concern should be the safety of the whole people. and whole Israelites were right now endangered by this coming army. He was so consumed about his safety. He never asked God to deliver his people. Or even saying, God, take my life, but save my people, which is your people, like Moses did. Remember Moses? In Moses' case, people rebelled against him. And story goes, God was so angry that God told Moses, you know what? I'm going to wipe them all out. And I'm going to just restart it with you. I can do this because I'm Almighty God. And Moses pleads to God, saying, please don't do that. That's not what you do. And these are your people. Please save them and show mercy. And God did. Listen. What Saul never did is actually asking to God about those things. He never did. Somehow. God was always a distant person or figure for him, like an authority that comes to him only by means of Samuel, the prophet. But the fact, history, the story is, he was the one who was chosen by God. And if you really read the story of Saul, when he was young, actually, he was also chosen to be among the groups of the prophets who are in trance and prophesying. So he had the inner quality that he could cultivate and he could have had the relationship with God, which he never bothered to even look into it. So, to me, we read it, so like 3,000 years later, it sounded like Saul had a just trapped fate life, that God set it up all against him. So, poor Saul. But if you really read the story, he had all the qualities that he could have cultivated. And even to the last minute, as the biblical stories go, if you really, really, truly speak to God, your God listens to you. That's the message in the whole Old Testament. You know, that's how it begins, the Exodus. People even did not really call the name of God. They just cried out because of their pain and burden in Egypt. And God listened to it. And God decided to send a messenger and to free them. That's the image of God that is portrayed and taught and to believe. That may not be the image of God for us. That may not be the image of God for 21st century people. For you, where do you learn your God? That's actually a good question to ask to you. For them, their God was the God who liberated their ancestors from slavery, led them through 40 years in desert, and secured them to land and possess in this beautiful land, and became a people of nation. That's their God. How about you? Where did you learn your God? What did your God to you? Or what do you want from your God? Have you ever really spoken to your God with the real issue? Not like, please God, bring world peace. I love that, but it's sometimes too vague. You have real issues. That is deadly serious to you. And have you ever really spoken that to God? God is not your wishmaster. That's the message today. What's going to be, will be. Some things you can't change it, and God can't change it. But beautiful side of it is that even if that's what will be, you can accept it and process it in a whole different way. You know, there's a very classic story, two farmers working in the field, right? It was also scorching summer hot day. And one's very angry and another was very happy looking. So a passing by traveler was curious to ask to the angry one, "Why are you so angry about it?" And he's saying, "You know, I've been working here since 6 a.m. and I'm only halfway done. There's halfway more to go. It's so hot and hard and crazy." And yes, that could be, right? So traveler passed to the other one who looked happy. So he asked, "Why are you so happy working in such a hot, you know, summer day?" Said, you know, the happy guy said, "You know, I've been working here 6 and 6 a.m. I'm already halfway done. I just have to go. I'm very happy about it." And they have exactly the same size field, right? They're doing exactly the same thing on exactly the same day. One's very happy about it. One's very angry about it. And if you want to add a little to the story, this angry farmer goes back to home and does what? He aggravates all the family members. Right? That's how it goes. He pours his anger to everybody he meets. And everybody reacts to the same way. Right? Children fear him and his wife is not responding to him. Happy farmer goes back to home and what happens? Make everybody happy. And his family respond to him in the same way. It's not a magic, but it is kind of magical, isn't it? Somehow, in this slight adjustment in how you perceive the exact same thing that you do, not only it can become a happy experience for you, but also make everybody around you happier. As little Rory was wisely saying, he cannot choose either just angry or smiley face. Why? Because it depends how each friend acts to him, that he has to react to them. Right? So when you see a smiley face, what do you do? You smile back. But what do you do when you see an angry face? You try to avoid. Right? When you're happy and you're about to say hi to your neighbor and you see a frown face, what do? You kind of froze. Right? But sometimes you are courageous enough to actually say it loud. And then this frowned face sometimes become smile because of you. It may be just a little small thing, but sometimes this small little thing makes a small little kind of rock goes into the pond and make a ripple, then ripple kind of touches all the way to the edges. It could carry a long and long influence. It begins in your mind, where it begins. And that's probably why many times in the Psalms they pray for comfort, calmness, quietness. And that's why in Buddhistic tradition, nirvana, enlightenment, is about to cool off, chill it out. You know, Your friend is very hot-headed. What do you say to him or her? Chill out. Why? When he or she is chilled out, your friend come back to senses and usually regret what he or she was doing about or saying about. One of the things that religion wants to teach everybody is how to maintain your chillness throughout the, you know, work, the day. And one of the ways is to remembering the presence of God with you. And God is present with you all the time. For the ancient people, they used the term fear of God. Because for them, that's the most powerful word to use. God's watching you. You should be afraid of it. Then they behave. But for you, maybe, it's not fear of God. Awareness of the presence. Just simply aware that your God is not following you. Of course not. God is not a stalker. No. But God is present with you all the time. And if you are aware of it more, your mind will be chilled. It's not a bad way of cold. It's calm and quiet. That'd be lovely. So may God bless you all in your practice of being aware of presence of your God in your life, not just on Sundays, but every single day. Amen.
Amen.